Well, here we are, folks, Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we think, wow, what a week that was that I just had. Things were so busy, they seemed out of control. I wasn't sure I was even going to make it through the week. We have before us this morning signs of Easter. The visuals that remind us of that week that Jesus had so long ago. Participating in all these this week, the table, as Jesus came into the city on a donkey, teaching in the temple courts throughout the week, eating with his disciples on the night of the Last Supper, sharing the Passover with them, instituting the sacrament of Holy Communion with Thaddeus, Simon, Andrew, Thomas, James, Peter, Matthew, John, Bartholomew, James, Philip, Judas. We have the cross as Jesus willingly went from the table of grace, was arrested by the officials, and was involved in an illegal trial, was illegally convicted of false accusations, and then went willingly to the cross to die on the cross for our sins. Was trying to think of a good way to give us a visual of the resurrection. And of course, there really isn't any. How do you give a visual of something that you can't see? And then as I was looking at the flowers this morning, I thought, how fitting. We have the visual right here. It's like the bulbs coming out of the earth, blooming again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, giving us that joy and hope of our own future resurrection. But it doesn't make sense to so many people. They can't find any truth or any logic in it. They just dismiss the stories as maybe false and wonder why sometimes we're so foolish in following a Galilean carpenter who's now dead. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus is not dead. And that's what separates Christians from all other religions in the world. We have a Messiah who died for our sins. We have a Messiah who died and conquered the grave and rose and promises we will too if we follow him. No other religion claims that. We have proof written down not only by the disciples, the apostles, by many throughout the years of this man who was resurrected from the dead. Every single human being decides for themselves whether they're going to believe this or not. They reason it out in their minds in one way or another, some more intently than others. Some just simply say, that's a bunch of garbage, I'm not going to believe it, and they go on. Others say, well, I'm not so sure. I want to search it out myself. But they have a hard time understanding the logic in all of it, and therefore dismiss this wonderful divine event. The resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth was probably, it was the most profound and life-changing event in the course of human history and human future. This event fueled the Christian faith with a power unlike anything before or anything ever to come. Not only does the resurrection validate who Jesus is, not only does it fulfill the promises of God to provide a way to eternal life, most importantly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ challenges us in regards to what we believe. And it gives us assurance that by believing in Jesus and accepting him as Lord and Savior, we're going to have the same thing, the resurrection from the dead, to eternal life and the presence of Almighty God. The resurrection story is found in all four Gospels, which means something to us. It tells us it's important. Many of the details are the same. Some are left out maybe here or there. Mark's Gospel implies that Joseph rolled the stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mark says that the stone was very large but was rolled away when the women got there. Matthew tells us that Pilate gave the order to secure the tomb and to place a seal on the stone and to post a guard. That seal that was placed on that stone was not like a big caulking gun of silicone to seal it up so water didn't get in, by the way. They would take a piece of big rope and they would have this substance sort of like wax or something, and they would put the rope up against the stone and the outside wall, and they would put this stuff against it to hold it there and seal it, and then put the seal of the government in those, the stamp of those in those two things to seal it, so that if anybody tampered with the stone, they'd be broken away and you'd be able to tell it, because only certain people were allowed to have that ring with that certain seal on it. Matthew says that there was an earthquake and that an angel rolled the stone away. All four Gospels testify that the tomb was empty. Luke says that when the women went back and told the other disciples, they thought it was nonsense, much like people do today. They say, that's crazy. It's crazy that you believe something like that. That couldn't have really happened. That logically is impossible. It just doesn't make any sense. But yes, it does. When we search it out in our minds and reason it out in our minds and examine this logically, something starts to happen inside us. The tomb literally cries out to all of humanity to search for Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The empty tomb literally cries out to all of humanity to search for Jesus. Believing in Jesus involves more than coming to church on Easter and receiving the information about His resurrection, possibly agreeing that it happened. It involves actually embracing it as the truth and embracing Jesus as the way to eternal life and as our personal Lord and Savior. And I hope today that you see in this the grace of God in the little things that we often miss in the resurrection account. I'm talking today about a rock, a wrap, and a resurrection. John tells us in chapter 20, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now, here was this stone. The one gospel writer says Joseph rolled it in front of the tomb. Another tells us that there was a seal put on it and there was a guard placed there. The women got there in the morning and the stone was rolled away. Something happened. One of the gospel writers says that there was an earthquake. Some say that the angel rolled it away. But I want you to think about something this morning before you leave here. That stone was not rolled away for Jesus' benefit. It was rolled away for ours. It was not rolled away to make a way out of the tomb. It was rolled away to make a way in for you and I to look in and examine it and see what was in the tomb. In other words, the stumbling block was removed from the tomb. If the tomb was still sealed, we'd never know what happened to Jesus, would we? On that evening, His disciples were behind locked doors and He came among them. Jesus didn't need the stone to be removed. Jesus had the power to transcend everything and move about as He pleased. He came among His disciples when the doors were locked. He didn't knock and they say, "Oh, Jesus, come on in." A week later, when they were gathered together again, the doors were locked. He came among them. He didn't need the rock rolled away for Him to get out. It was rolled away pleading for us to first look in. Look into the tomb. The stone's rolled away. It's wide open. There's nothing holding you back. Take a look. Next we see as we look in, the wrap. Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. And Simon Peter was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. separate from the linen. The other disciple looked in. They saw the strips that Joseph had wrapped Jesus' body in. Peter went in and saw not only the strips, but the cloth that had been around Jesus' head. Now, here were these things lying in this tomb nice and neatly. If someone had tampered with the body, they wouldn't have taken time to fold the cloths. If someone had stolen the body, they wouldn't have had spent time folding linens and placing them neatly, separating the cloth from the linens. You see, this meant someone's life. If that body got out of the tomb, somebody was going to pay. Somebody was going to die. Either the soldiers that were stationed there or anybody that was trying to steal the body would have lost their life. This was very serious. So anyone going into that tomb to steal that body would not have folded the linens up nice and neatly and placed them nice and neatly and then nice and neatly carry Jesus' body away. They would have had to overcome the guards to roll the stone away, to do all this work and carry Jesus' body out of there. The disciples were scared to death that this was going to happen to them. They weren't anywhere near the tomb overnight because they knew what it meant if they'd have been caught there. So we have a rock, a wrap, and thirdly, if Jesus' body was there, there would be no reason for Matthew to tell us about a plot to lie and say that Jesus' body had been stolen by his disciples. Read it sometime in Matthew 28, when the guards went back and told... Let's look at it here this morning. Matthew 28. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say that his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Oh man, there's money again, isn't it? There's money again. Selling out Jesus. A plot by Jesus' own people, whom John says he came to his own received him not. If Jesus' body was there, there'd be no reason for Matthew to tell us about this plot. And Jesus would have been a liar. And Christianity would have ended, right? Finally, the other disciple who reached the tomb went inside and he saw and believed. He saw and believed. He saw the rock, the wrap, and the resurrection, that the body was no longer there. I thought about this and meditated on it a little bit and thought it cannot end there. It cannot end there for you and I. There's two more R's involved in this, and the first one is a reunion. First, Jesus came to Mary. She thought he was a gardener. He spoke to her. He was reunited with Mary. On that evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. He reunited himself with his disciples. A week later, they were together, and Thomas was with them this time. He came and he stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." They were reunited. Jesus wants to be reunited with his disciples. And lastly, Jesus wants a relationship with us. The risen Christ just didn't rise from the dead just to go sit at the right hand of God and watch over us and say, "Yeah, look at that preacher down there. Boy, he's a real doozy, isn't he? He's a real piece of work." No, Jesus rose, sits at the right hand of the Father, pleading for his disciples, but yet now he lives inside us and the Holy Spirit to direct and guide us. He told the disciples, "The Father will send the Holy Spirit. He will teach you and tell you about everything that I have said." The Holy Spirit continues to speak to us through God's Word and speaks to us this very moment this morning on Easter Sunday. and in a rock, a wrap, and a resurrection, you see, we see the grace of God. And this risen Jesus wants to have a reunion and a relationship with us. In all of this that we've been talking about all this week, the Lord's Supper, the crucifixion, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, in all of this, folks, we are challenged. And that's where people say, whoop, I don't want to be challenged. This is too much for me to take, too much for me to understand. I don't want to be challenged. But we have to be. We know of one man who has the power of death in the grave. Power over death in the grave. And his name is Jesus. Death and the grave have no power over Jesus. He's more powerful, and therefore by trusting in Him to come and take us to be with Him, we too can have power over the grave when our time comes. If you are sitting here this morning and you think you are going to get to heaven without Jesus, you have been ultimately, totally fooled and misled by the enemy. Do not let that happen. Jesus died for you, rose from the dead, and says, if you believe in me, believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it weren't so, would I have told you? In other words, he's saying, would I have lied to you? But I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me. And it's more than just believing that Jesus was the Messiah, that he died and rose again on the third day. It's more than that. Because he's now crying out in all these things, wanting to be reunited with us and have that relationship with us. Our assurance in trusting in Jesus is evident in a rock, a wrap, and a resurrection, which beckons us today to receive Jesus as Lord and believe in His resurrection power. And all we have to do is say, Jesus, I know you died for my sins. I'm a sinner. I acknowledge I'm a sinner, and I acknowledge that you died for me. Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that you are the one that you claim to be. Jesus tells his disciples, I'll come to take you to be with me. What sense would it make if he was still in the tomb for him to say something like that? He would then be a liar, and we would still be wondering today whatever happened to Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the divine icing on the cake of Christianity. It's a gift of grace that transcends time to today and calls us to the grave and challenges you and I to make a decision regarding who this man Jesus is to you and I personally. Personally, we claim him as ours, as our way, our truth, and our everlasting life. Is he just a dead guy who lived a long time ago? I challenge you to provide evidence that that kind of thinking is true. This has been debated for centuries, and still Christianity thrives and Jesus lives. Better yet, better than my personal challenge to provide evidence that that's kind of thinking is true, that Jesus is just a dead guy. Better yet, and ultimately, the Bible challenges us to honestly search for ourselves and be prepared to find a loving Jesus who lives and is not dead. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, what a great